First, we're not that far away from school being back in session here in Wisconsin. For many kids, that means fall sports are right around the corner. Some athletes may be practicing already or playing in summer leagues, but for a growing number of kids are not involved in sports at all.
Data from the Aspen Institute finds that athletic participation for kids aged 6 through 12 is down almost 8% over the last decade. While some sports have seen upticks, others, including football and soccer, have been trending downward.
Risa Issard is program manager of the Sports and Society program at the Aspen Institute, and she joins us now to talk more about why we're seeing this decline. Risa, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
So as we mentioned there in the intro, participation in youth sports down almost 8% in the last decade. Before we get into the why, I want to ask you, what's your reaction as someone who, you know, studies sports and youth sports? What's your reaction when you hear something like that?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's really important, I think, to understand the why. And as you mentioned, really, even before we get to the why, understand why it matters that fewer kids are playing sports, right? So that means fewer kids that are learning lifelong lessons through sport, that are learning how to be a teammate, that are learning and having coaches that are great mentors to them, that are learning to set goals and persevere. And it also means fewer kids being active. Sport is unique because it's not actually the only place that kids can learn a lot of these great life lessons that you do indeed learn through sport. But it is pretty much the only place that you learn those lessons and have the opportunity to be active and healthy. And so when fewer kids are playing sports, that's alarming, especially when we know what we know about the trends in obesity and overweightness youth are experiencing today and the role that an increase in sedentary lifestyles is playing in that.
So that's the why it matters. Let's talk about the why it's happening. What are some of the reasons that we are seeing for this decline?
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, youth sports have become an exercise of haves and have-nots. So the number one predictor of whether or not a kid will be playing sports is whether or not their families can afford it. As our country sees a divide in economic stratification throughout any number of different sectors and having impact on any number of different lifestyle issues, youth sports is a big, that's one area where we see those same trends. So that's one big reason that it's happening. There are any number of other reasons, starting with simply that youth sports aren't fun for youth anymore. Kind of interestingly enough, you know, you would think that youth are the consumer of youth sports, and they're just driven so much by adults these days who aren't stopping to ask kids, what do they want from sport? So we're designing sport experiences that aren't fitting the needs for kids. And then when kids do have access to sport, we're really just asking them to drink sport like out of a fire hose, right? And so we're seeing these overuse injuries and burnout rates. It's just simply not fun. And then, you know, kids are getting injured through sport. And even if they're not, parents have concerns that their kids might get injured through sport. And lastly, we don't have as many qualified coaches as we need, even for the number of kids who are playing sport. And so as we think about how can we get more kids playing sport, we also need to make sure that when those kids have access to sport, that they also have access to high-quality trained coaches that understand best practices in youth development and really the basics of the sport and in safety and just how to make a good experience.
Let's go back to the first thing that you said there, that this is becoming an exercise in haves and have-nots. And when I think of youth sports, I tend to think of signing up through a program through your school, through your high school. Is this something that we see happening with high school sports, or are we seeing kind of this rise in private clubs as well, and is that having something to do with it? Is that what you're talking about here?
Yeah, I mean, it's really both, right? So for kids to play in high school, they have to have played at a younger age almost always. And so many kids are dropping out before they even get to high school that you'll see this effect on high school, but it's really not a conversation about the fact that high school sports might cost a bit more than they used to and really about what's happening before kids even reach high school or before they even reach middle school, right? Do they have the opportunity to learn how to play sports and be active through sports starting at 6 or 7 or 8 and then to continue with that to get to high school?
We are talking with Risa Issard. She is program manager of the Sports and Society program at the Aspen Institute, and we are talking about why participation in youth sports is down over the last decade. And Risa, one of the reasons that we wanted to have this conversation is we saw a piece in the New York Times about a month ago, quoting data from the Sports and Fitness Industry Association, found that the percentage of 6 to 12-year-olds playing soccer regularly has dropped nearly 14% in the past 3 years. Now, that's significantly higher than some of this overall data that we've been talking about. Why do you think soccer in particular has been impacted so hard?
soccer has to be one of the most costly sports to play in this country, which is kind of ironic, right? Because around the world, it's really the people's game. You go somewhere else in Europe or somewhere on the African continent or in Asia, right? And you see kids just playing soccer in every little nook and cranny, and adults for that matter. It doesn't matter if they're wearing shoes or if they have fancy goals. They're often not playing on nice, beautiful green sod, or maybe even with, you know, a soccer ball that's perfect. But they're playing, and they're having great experiences through that, and then they're developing terrific players through that. In America, soccer is a sport that is hyper-organized, and it's played, you know, in kind of these mega facilities on perfectly green, sodded grass. And it's just really expensive, and it's also really logistically challenging for families to coordinate their lives around the demands of soccer, more so than some other sports.
Yeah, Hope Solo, who is the former goalkeeper of the United States women's team, one of soccer's most recognizable names, she recently criticized the new sort of emerging economic model of youth soccer that you're talking about here, saying, among other things, quote, soccer right now has become a rich white kid sport. Break that down for us. Are we seeing a lack of opportunities, or are we seeing some kind of consolidation of community sports programs or things like that?
Yeah, I mean, really what we're seeing is that at a certain age, kids either can continue playing through elite travel teams, which have high fees for trainers, and they have demands multiple nights a week for practices, and they have extensive demands on weekends, and they might have extensive even just, you know, commute times for practice or to tournaments on the weekends, right? And at a certain age, that becomes the only option for playing soccer. And so if that isn't something that your family can afford or can make happen logistically, or it's simply not something a kid's interested in, right? There are plenty of kids who like playing soccer and don't want it to be their entire life, starting at the age of 8 or 9. Then there simply aren't options for many kids across this country to play in an in-town league with their friends from school, maybe through an elementary or middle school, you know, after-school sports opportunity.
We heard from Michael on Facebook, who says parents can't afford to travel with these teams anymore. Weekend trips for tournaments cost the entry fees, motels, gas, and food. It takes all the kids' time with the season practices. The kids have no time to play on their own. School suffers for some, and that is more important than chasing a dream where only less than 10% turn pro. Michael, thank you so much for that comment. And Risa, are you hearing comments like Michael's all the time now?
We're hearing comments like that all the time, and it's also certainly what the data suggests, is that it's cost prohibitive for more families than not to be participating in the youth sports ecosystem today. You know, entry fees just to the leagues are high, and then as every tournament comes along and there are additional fees, it's really expensive.
You also mentioned how fears over safety factor into this. Now, I can see why maybe participation in youth football would be down. Soccer, maybe a little less so, although I know there are some groups calling for an end to headers in youth soccer. But is that fear of concussions, of injury, really one of these driving factors? Or is that something that's just kind of existing in the background at this point?
Fear of concussion is a huge fear. We hear it from parents across the country in a study that we commissioned with ESPN and ESPNW a few years ago. An overwhelming percentage of parents told us that they have major concerns about the safety of their kids in sport, and that they've even considered holding their kids out of sport because of those fears. And they're highest in football and some other sports, including soccer, follow behind that. As our team is on the ground in communities across this country, in Southeast Michigan, in Western New York, in Baltimore, in Harlem, in Mobile County, we hear from boys and girls also that fear of getting hurt is keeping them on the sidelines. When we ask them why they don't play sports, it's consistently one of the top answers is that they're afraid of getting hurt.
We are talking right now with Risa Isard. She is with the Sports and Society Program at the Aspen Institute, and we are talking about declining participation in youth sports, what's behind that, and after the break, we're going to talk about some of what is being done to try and turn things around.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you a parent who's opting to keep your child out of sports? If so, what's behind that decision? Is there anything that would change your mind, and what is your child pursuing instead? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page.
We'll pick up that conversation after the short break. Stay with us here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Chris Molina.
And I'm Judith Sears Poisson. Right now, we're picking up the conversation about declining participation in youth sports. Our guest is Risa Issard, Program Manager of the Sports and Society Program at the Aspen Institute.
And we want to hear from you, too, at 800-642-1234. What has been your experience with youth sports? Are you a parent, a coach, or a referee? Has what you've seen during games turned you off from these programs? And what do you think would make youth sports more accessible and inclusive to everybody? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. And that's where we heard from June on Facebook, who says that overly pushy parents might be a factor and may take some fun out of playing for kids. And Risa, I want to ask about this. You had mentioned parents in the beginning, and we hear this all the time on the internet, that it's parents, it's not kids, it's parents that are ruining the game. They're being overly pushy, they're yelling, they're arguing with coaches. What's your best advice for parents here going forward?
Yeah, it's a great question, and it's interesting, right, because everything you said is true. And even before we get to that point, parents are simply not asking their kids what sports do they want to be playing and why do they want to be playing them. And so some great researchers at GW actually did this. They went and they surveyed, I think, about 1,500 kid athletes and asked them what do they like about sport. And then they went back and they grouped everything they heard, and then they went back to the same kids and they asked the kids to rank them, right? And when you ask the kids to rank what they like about sports, the top answers that kids gave were about, you know, just trying their best and having a coach who treats them with respect, getting playing time, playing with teammates, you know, just simply being active. There were 81 things that kids ranked, and interestingly enough, winning came in at 48, right? So it's not that winning isn't fun. It's just that it's not the reason that most kids are playing sports. And to put that into perspective, at 41 out of 81 things was water breaks with my friends, right? So like 7 points above winning is water breaks. And at the very top are simply just trying their best and having a coach who treats them with respect. And what's interesting about that, too, is that those things aren't actually that hard to deliver on, right? And they certainly don't cost very much. And so when we're talking about sport being cost prohibitive, thinking about what kids really want from sport, and realizing that it's not actually an expensive endeavor, a coach who treats you with respect, like, that's $0, right? Exercising and being active, that should just be inherent in a good sport experience. And so I think the first step is simply ask your kids what sports do they want to be playing and what teams do they want to be playing on and why do they want to be playing. And make sure that you're picking a sport experience that is tending to those, and then that the coach and the league understand what your kids and your family's objectives are through that. There are a great number of other resources, and our team has actually put them all together. We call them our parent checklists, and they're available online at as.pn/checklist. And so it's actually 3 different checklists for parents of kids between the ages of 0 and 5, and then parents of kids between the ages of 6 to 12 who are playing sport and 6 to 12 who aren't playing. Are not playing sport. And simply 10 questions to ask yourself, ask your kids' sport providers about the experience that your kid will have in sport there, to understand what their wishes are and what is, the model that league is operating on.
June, thank you so much for that comment. And we're going to go to the phones now at 800-642-1234. A lot of callers waiting to chime in on this one. And let's hear from Brad, who is in Madison. Hi, Brad.
Hi, good afternoon. I think this is a great conversation. Risa, I'd like to suggest that you're really nailing a lot of the issues. I'm a parent. I was a multi-sport athlete in high school. I enjoyed sport, not because it was a path to a college scholarship, but just because it was fun to play baseball in the spring and play hockey in the winter. I want to write a book about when did youth sports become no fun, because it has to be like the least satisfying aspect of my parenting life so far, trying to navigate all of this. I'd like to suggest that it's big money. It's another path just to, like, separate, you said, the haves and the have-nots. I'd like to suggest that as our society kind of separates based on financial divide, the sport seems to me to be the place where parents can make sure their kids are winning, which means they're going to win at the next thing they do and the next thing they do. And it's just too much pressure, too early, everything that you've said. So thanks a lot for your information.
All right. Well, Brad, thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Brad.
Yeah, and Risa, I mean, we always kind of think of sports as the great uniter. When the Olympics come along every 4 years, it's supposed to be the stuff that brings us together. It sounds like what Brad is saying is sports is kind of tearing us apart a little bit, and I'm wondering what is the way forward here, and where does it need to start?
Yeah, it's a great question. And sport in itself is not really anything, right? Sport is what we make it. So if we want it to be a great uniter, it certainly can be, and if we're not intentional about it being a great uniter, it might end up where we are right now, which is that it is often a great divider. And so the path forward starts with asking kids about their sport experience and designing sports for those ends. It includes bringing back free play and in-town leagues, making sure kids up through the age of 12 at a minimum have the opportunity to play a variety of different sports so that they can try, you know, different activities, find what they like, find maybe what they're good at, if that's what is driving them. And even once they find the few things they like, the opportunity to keep playing those and not have to make a decision on what sport they're going to specialize in before the age of 12. Getting creative about where play spaces can be in a community. A lot of communities don't actually have safe places to play. And so rethinking about what does it mean to have a safe place to play and how do we build those, and then maybe even more than taking kids to sports, like how do we bring sports to kids to meet them where they're at, right? It's a lot easier to move a few soccer balls and an adult than it is to move a bunch of kids that may not have transportation available to them. Making sure sport experiences are designed to be age appropriate, right? What is appropriate for a 6-year-old is not even the same as what's appropriate for a 7-year-old, let alone a 12-year-old. And making sure that coaches know those best practices and that they can also be keeping kids safe in the game. So those are really the 8 strategies that our team has identified as bringing the game changers, as, you know, holding the promise of getting and keeping kids in the game, because both of those are important, right? We need kids to be playing sport and active through sport, and we need sport to be delivering an experience that is retaining them so they can continue to grow and develop through those great opportunities.
Brad, thank you so much for that call. We are talking with Risa Issard, Program Manager of the Sports and Society Program at the Aspen Institute, talking about declining participation in youth sports and what to do about it. Back to your calls now, and we will go to Appleton and talk to Cindy. Hi, Cindy. Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is because of the cost of the sports, and I think sports has too much emphasis in school now, and I also think that too many kids get discouraged because they sit on the sidelines because it's all about winning and they only put in the good kids. And I think actually parents have gotten way too involved in this too and expect way too much of their children. This should be about sportsmanship and teamwork and not about winning.
Cindy, thank you so much for that call. And Risa, we're hearing that message a lot, that there's a lot that we can get back to some really basic qualities with youth sports. And I'm wondering, and you kind of talked about some of where it starts. And I'm also wondering, too, sports leagues, what role that they have in all of this, because obviously they're going to have a vested interest in a steady stream of youth athletes participating and enjoying sports.
Yeah. Can you clarify? So sports leagues meaning youth leagues or meaning the pro leagues in this country?
Yeah, good clarification. I should say professional sports leagues. I'm wondering how they see this going forward and what the strategy for them is.
Yeah. Well, the good news is actually that many of the pro leagues in this country have, you know, do understand that they have a vested interest in having more kids active through sport, right? It's good for their fan pipeline. It's good for their athlete pipeline. And so they're quite concerned about the way that sports participation is trending in this country. And actually, a lot of them have started working together with the coordination of the Aspen Institute Sports and Society Program under our program called Project Play 2020, where we're working in partnership with Major League Baseball and the NBA and the NHL and some other governing bodies and some other leading organizations in sport in this country to sit down and say, what are the shared goals and what are the opportunities to actually work together to promote sport sampling and to promote age-appropriate play and to make sure parents understand what good looks like in youth sport. So the leagues are certainly aware of the opportunity, and I'm really proud to say that Aspen has helped to bring them together to take these next steps collectively.
One of the things that we hear a lot is that kids are just they're distracted these days. I know that when I read this article in the New York Times, that was one of the things that was fallen back on, that, you know, kids are distracted by the iPads. They're playing too much Fortnite. There are all these other things competing for kids' attention. Do you buy that argument?
I mean, really, what I think it comes down to, right, it's like, I think you can't argue, right? Kids are playing Fortnite, and they're on their phones, and they're Snapchatting, and they're on apps that I don't even know exist anymore, right? But the reason that they're playing those is because those are good experiences for them. It's because technology companies have figured out what kids want, and they have feedback loops, and they're, you know, using data to drive their decisions. Oh, we saw, you know, players like this feature and that feature, and this didn't work, right? So they're constantly iterating to deliver exactly what participants and users want. And that is exactly what youth sports is not doing. And so we really see it as an opportunity to learn from, right? Like, it's possible, actually, to get kids interested in your activity. Kids didn't, you know, they weren't born with an interest in Fortnite, right? Like, they've tried it, and they had a good time playing it, and their parents didn't know how to play it, so their parents weren't yelling at them, and they could play with their friends, maybe without even having to sit with their friends. So it takes out some of these barriers of transportation. So it really, at the end of the day, it's delivering a good experience, and it's overcome a lot of these barriers that youth sport has yet to really figure out, or I would say really devote time to figuring out how to overcome.
Well, Risa, so much more to talk about, but we are out of time. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks so much.
Risa Issard is the program manager of the Sports and Society program at the Aspen Institute. She joined us to talk about why participation in youth sports is down and what some people are trying to do about it. And plenty more conversations to be had on this topic. If you didn't get on today, head on over to the Central Time or the Ideas Network Facebook page. Leave us a comment, tell your story, and we'll try to share it on air at some point in the future.